Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. And I have with me tonight Stars Maya Moon. And each week, of course, we spend an hour about it, talk about a topic of interest that that she comes up with, and I say yay or nay, or we talk about them. But anyways, tonight it's about your spiritual identity. I did some research, as I do all the time, and I'm going to have Maya explain about spiritual identity, but I also want to remind everybody you can certainly call in if you want to contribute anything at 347-838-9736, and we will be here till 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And so Stars Maya Moon, can you explain spiritual identity?
Yes, welcome everyone. We're so glad to have you, as always. And I think it's an interesting topic. I mean, anytime we're dealing with metaphysical or spiritual, I mean, there's a lot of different belief systems, and I don't believe that there's a right or wrong. But and I know there's a lot of people that may see this completely different, which is great. And like Natalie said, if you want to share your input on that, but to me, our spiritual identity is our core self. I'm trying to think of some good examples. A good example would be what I refer to as our ego self. And when I use the word in this context, ego, I don't mean like our ego pride, but our more external. And that's a combination of our personality traits, the way that we cope, our experiences that we've had in this life and what we've learned from other people, from ourselves, the career we've chosen, what our interests are within our career field. I mean, we may be working one job, so that all is what I would call more the, I mean, it is internal, but more the external, the more ego personality. Our spiritual identity, I feel, is formed in a process way beyond the earthly realm. And I feel that it is, although it can be shifted to a point, it remains untouched by the experiences, especially the everyday experiences. It remains untouched. So it may have... there may be differences in those two identities, and if we all could follow, let's say, so I recognize that we have two identities, and the goal, you might say, is, you know, a part of our universal purpose is that those two identities become one and mesh and become as close as possible to mirror one another, but I feel as humans that is not achievable in lifetime, even though it should be the goal. It's very difficult to achieve that because our spiritual identity is extremely pure. So, for example, there in our spiritual identity, we wouldn't feel shame, we wouldn't feel guilt, we would have a greater understanding or faith. Acceptance, understanding kind of gives the illusion of having answers, and I don't feel we necessarily have answers. So a good example might be let's say that a person is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder for whatever the reason is. We know that a lot of our veterans suffer from that, and that, you know, that's a psychological disorder, but it affects our life in every way. And although it can affect how we connect with and deal with our universal and our spiritual identity, it's not really a part. Our spiritual identity is kept, there's like a wall there, so it doesn't take on that, it doesn't have that identity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Is there okay. A separation? I guess there is a separation from spiritual identity and our human identity, of course, right? Spiritual would be
kind of
what our beliefs are?
Well, I feel there is. I feel that our spiritual identity is of the purest, highest form, but it's almost as if you are climbing down the ladder. And so at the top of the ladder is our core being, which is our spiritual identity. And then as you start climbing down the ladder, you start climbing into our ego, our human identity, which has a multitude of characteristics which are often flawed. They're often shifted and changed, and they continue to do so. And sometimes they can go positive to negative or negative to positive. But they're more susceptible, I guess would be the word, to our experiences, our feelings about ourselves. So, yes, I feel that there's two identities, and that we're being led to try to be truer to our spiritual identity. Again, that would be the goal, if you will. But it's very difficult because our spiritual identity is kind of closed off, in a sense, and protected from what we endure as humans. I mean, our spiritual identity doesn't really worry about paying bills, doesn't necessarily stress because it's more a state of being and energy. But I believe that it has traits that it can be unique, that we're not all, although there may be some commonalities universally between us with our spiritual identities, there can be that as well with our human identities. But I believe that we are unique individuals. And so I do feel that there's two separate, and that the division, the depth of that division, or the however you want to word it, the gulf between those two can vary from individual to individual. Like for another example would be, let's say a sociopath, and the definition of a sociopath is someone that can commit heinous crimes without feeling any type of remorse. They absolutely do not relate to other people's pain. People are seen more as objects rather than people. Now, that person, for example, their true spiritual identity could be completely different, but they're not being led by that. And so it's possible to have two completely separate identities. That's what I believe. Now I know there's probably, and maybe some people will call in and share their thoughts. I'm sure there's a lot of people that believe that's not true, that believe that we're kind of all one and the same. One is just at a higher vibration. But I actually believe that it's separate, yes.
Well, it makes sense to me. Now, do we always know our own spiritual identity? I mean, can we say, okay, well, I know what my spiritual identity is? Or is that something that you just feel, or somebody else recognizes it? Like, does it mean like, well, I'm super spiritual, I believe, period, I just believe? I mean, does a person know what their spiritual identity is?
I mean, that's a good question. I feel, from what I'm taught, I believe that some of us are aware of that, and that helps to keep us pursuing what we might say is our true path or purpose. But I feel that there's other people that aren't aware. But then again, you could say the same thing with our human identity. There's a lot of times where people are unaware. They think that they're coming across or that they have certain traits. And actually, the rest of the world or other people would describe them completely different. So I think the same is true with the spiritual identity. I think that a lot of times we're not really aware of what that identity is. And I don't even know if sometimes if it's necessary, if we're supposed to be aware. I mean, to a point we are, but I feel like it can only serve us so much because we are earth beings. Now, when we're no longer on this earth, then you would say that human counterpart ceases to exist for the moment that we are in the afterlife, or we're purely spiritual beings. Then we're just made up of whatever that spiritual identity is, and I do feel it can vary. Some people would be more sensitive. Some people would be more compassionate. Some people would tend to be more generous. Some people would be healers. Some people would be teachers. So in that respect, I think our traits can be different. Our spiritual identity traits can be different from each other, and also from our ego traits.
Okay, can you have all of those traits? I know I recognize a lot of them in myself, but I didn't really recognize them until I got older, of course. I mean, when you're real young, you're just thinking about the day and what's happening and all that. But I think as you get older, you start to wonder, well, you know, what am I? Who am I? What do I believe in? Do I believe in everything spiritual? See, I believe in it all. I mean, I can say that for myself. And I always say, I think I said this to Jackie today, I said, you only cry when you believe. That's like watching something on television. Something gets so sensitive to you that it touches your heart and your soul. That's how I am. I mean, I can watch the same thing over and over again, and it'll have the same effect on me. Fried Green Tomatoes is a perfect example. I watched that movie, and something about Jessica Tandy, I don't know what it is, but she's in that movie and Kathy Bates, and that just touches my heart, and I resonate with it. So, but can you have all of those? Can you have all of those traits and be, is that part of your spiritual identity, like what you were saying, a healer, a compassionate, generous, all of that? I suppose you could, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that you could, but I believe that it would be, and I believe that what you said is true, and probably for most of us, is that as we mature, our life experiences, you know, we go through our identity, and we learn to become more comfortable with ourselves. We know ourselves better, and so we learn more about ourselves, you know, as like just like teenagers go through that identity thing, but that's just a very temporary. Most people at 17 to 21 have not completed the wholeness of who they're going to be. I think it's very much later in life that we finally completely come to terms with who we are, and we start to recognize, like you said, you started to see in yourself, oh, you know, well, I'm this way, or this is what's important to me, or I didn't realize that this was something
that... Oh, I was a lot older before I realized any of it, Maya. I have to say, some of it, I think, is when I met you, because I've learned so much, not just the business, you know, because that's a business. That's not, you know, but I think... the more I talk to you, the more I recognize things in myself, But you know, with me, I always thought everybody was everybody should be like that. I mean, everybody should be loving and kind and generous and helpful and all of that, like helping somebody if they need help. I mean, I do that all the time. We've talked about it. So some people are not, I guess, correct? I don't know. I only know me. I know you, but I, you know what I'm saying? You eventually get all of these traits, or maybe some don't, I guess. Some are not very loving or generous. They become misers, but that doesn't mean they don't believe, right?
Right. They can. I mean, I believe that they can still have faith and be good people. They don't necessarily have it to the same extent that another person does, caring about other people. I mean, they would not want to see other people suffering. If they witnessed, you know, someone getting beat up, they would run to the rescue. But they don't spend a majority of their time thinking about other people and doing something, you know, productive about it. So I think we all do vary, and I think that's what makes the world an interesting place. I mean, I guess it would be a better place, in a sense, if we all shared the same positive qualities. But then again, I don't see how that would can be possible.
Right.
If, you know, I mean, it just depends on what we see this, you know, this life is about. I mean, what I think is sad is people that, they just think this is it. I mean, you just go through the motions. You work your
right.
job, whatever that is. You raise your kids or whatever you've chosen.
You get older, and then that's it.
You get older, and then that's it. It's the end. And that experiences are just bad things that happen. And some people, they consider them luckier than others. And that there's nothing more. I mean, to me,
I didn't even think about that. You know, I'll tell you, I didn't even think about the beyond or anything. Well, I guess maybe back when I had that visitation and I got seriously ill and all that, I thought about it because I was surrounded by people who are of that kind of mind. But for myself, I did not. It's only been the last, well, I've known you, I don't know, 4 years, 4.5 years, whatever it is. And I think the more you integrate with people like yourself, the more you recognize things in yourself. But I notice from my friends that I have. I mean, I have some friends that are, oh, they'll just do anything. They'll do anything for me. I mean, I drop everything. You need to go someplace good. Okay, I'll take you. Like my neighbor, she's wonderful. And my other friend. But yet there are people who would not lift the hand. They wouldn't even bother with you. They don't even care. What makes, like, me and you and, like, the Candies of the world and some of the others that I know, what makes us so different? Why do all of a sudden we recognize the spiritual identity, even just spirituality? Why does it happen? I went to church. I was a Catholic and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't even know what that was. You know what I'm saying? I had to be a lot older. And I think, actually, right now where I am, with my family, you know, my little granddaughter, my son and my daughter-in-law, my godchild, I'm very close to her and another best friend that I have. I think I'm recognizing more in myself of what my abilities are, all of the traits I have, because I'm using them. I think that's what it is. I'm using them now. But I think they were always there. I would like to think I was never a mean child, But you're right. I was saying when you're little, you don't care about that. You go outside and play. You play with your dolls or whatever. Then you grow up and you meet somebody. You fall in love. You get married and you go through all that whole cycle. I don't even think you get to know who you are until you're beyond when your children grow up and maybe you have grandchildren. And then all of a sudden there's more time for yourself and you can look within and say, oh, yeah, that's me. That's me. I do that. I don't know. I mean, is that true, Maya?
I believe it. I mean, I think a part of it is because if, you know, when we're younger, let's say we're even in our 30s, which is young, we've had some life experiences and some positive and negative, but it's kind of like a book. We just aren't far enough into the book to be able to give a synopsis or know how it ends. And so what I think happens is that people either come out the other side, meaning, you know, maturity gives them the balance of the experiences, and faith to me is important. I mean, that's vital to our ability to exist in harmony and alignment with our spiritual identity, with others and with everything. But I still think there's variations. And so I think, you know, I feel that some people come away from the world, you know, like in their 40s to their 60s, and they kind of make almost a decision is the way that I would see it. They almost come with the decision either this is a good place and they have faith and optimism, or they, because of their experiences and the way they perceive those, they walk away with this is a challenging place where you never get a break. So I think we're all on different levels. You know, I believe in reincarnation. I believe strongly that we continue to return to Earth. Maybe we don't come, you know, we don't shoot up to heaven, so to speak, and then right back down into a body. For all we know, and all I know, it could be in human time, it could be thousands of years before we reincarnate. But a lot of it depends on our lesson and if it was learned and how far, you know, how many times we've reincarnated or we've gotten that lesson down. So the further along we go with learning our lesson, I think the more we connect to our spiritual identity. And when that guides us, then that guides us with the ability to care more. I mean, you can look at, you know, like my youngest, I spent a lot of time at his school when he was kindergarten through fifth grade. And I saw children that came from a variety of families. And there really was not a correlation, like you would assume that there would be a correlation between, you know, the families that cared, like I would say I was, versus the kids being good kids or caring, compassionate. But that wasn't always true. Some of the kids that were bullied even back then came and had great parents that cared, that weren't bullies. So if that makes sense, I think it's just really individual.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I can think about my son. Even now, this was when he was small, and he's very caring, very compassionate. He would help kids in his class. This was like maybe grade 3, grade 4. He was little. He was a small kid. And the teachers would always tell us how great he was because he helped all the kids. And they always thought he came from a big family. Well, he was my only child. I mean, they would sit back and say, what? We thought that he learned this from home. So that tells you that sometimes it's just part of you. Maybe he saw how his dad and I were because his dad was a teacher. But can it be learned? I mean, can all of a sudden you say, well, I guess I want to be like that, and they don't even know what it is, that they're really being very caring, very compassionate. He's always been like that. So for me, I don't know. My parents, my dad was compassionate, but he didn't have the other traits, and neither did my mother, and I think that's from the era that they came from. They had to be survivors. So, you know, that's just what it was with them. I don't even know how in the world. I just think it was by association for me, and I realized, and then it's part of your makeup too. I think, you know, I have a real soft side. If you find it, you're really lucky because I'll feel for everybody. I mean, I feel for everybody that's working on the site because I know how hard they're working, and many of them need money. You know, I know that. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just part of the role that I play in the world right now, I guess. So I can't really say I'm not abnormal, but I'm not like the normal person for what I do. But I don't know. And you're very kind. You're very generous. You're loving. You're compassionate. You have all of the great traits. I like Candy. She's in the room right now. I mean, you know, she does everything with her heart. She really does. I know a lot of them on the site. It's the same way, but that's people from all over the world now that are on the site. So I've gotten acquainted with a lot of them, but I hope more people become like that. I think it's really important, don't you? Christy. Oops. Oh, I lost her. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute here. She's
here now.
Okay. Yeah, there you are. Did you hear what I said? Somehow you went on to silent.
I dropped the phone and the battery fell
out.
Oh,
that was a silent end. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. Oh, good, good. Anyways, I was saying about, you heard about my son, what I said, how he is.
Right.
I think he saw in us, kind of, I don't know, I think it was part of him. I just think that's part of him. I mean, he'll go to great lengths. One instance was we were in the grocery store and we saw this older couple. I'm really good with older couples. I mean, they're probably not that much older than me, but to me, they're older. And I'll see them fumbling and stumbling out of the grocery store, and it was raining. And this man went to get the car for his lovely wife, pulled it up, and she kind of stood there. And Louis looked at me. He says, I guess we should help. So we both went out in the rain. You know, it's kind of like an immediate thing. I mean, things that, and I can see a lot of myself in him, and my husband was like that too before he got ill. But it's a nice feeling to see that in your child, that they can do that. Now, being spiritual, and I guess I'm just picking on him a little bit, I think he is, not as much as I am, though. He's not like me, but he's not been in the world like I, you know, he's not been in the realm, I'd like to call it, like I have. So, but I don't know. It's unique. It's unique to everybody. But I wrote a note here. It says, whatever makes you, 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 whatever makes you, you, that's the deal. That's what it is. And, I had this chart of all these identities, but these are identities that you will have, like hobbies and practices and appearance and beliefs and values and choices, creations, possessions, interests, and friends and family. Those are all a part of the identity, but I spiritually really don't know. I wish there was a school for it because maybe more people would be open to it. They would realize that they really are like that too. But I think some people are just not like that, Maya. I see it all the time. I see people who, you know, I always say it's like that movie, Pay It Forward. It's true. Just keep doing good. Keep doing good. You're going to feel so good about it. And it's part of your spirituality. It makes you feel really good. And I think that's part of your identity. If you can do that, you're high in my book, that's for sure. You're on the first page.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, but then we have to look at, like, if we look at it universally at the bigger picture, if we were all of this high, you know, evolution, and we all had this, we were resonating to the highest chords of angelic vibrations, then we would really not gain any lessons on life, because we
Correct.
Would be faced with no challenges, because everyone would be, you know, how people say, well, in a perfect world, well, it would be pretty close to perfect. We wouldn't
right.
need
right.
money, because we would just give. If I had bread and you had cheese, then I would give you half of my bread and you would give. So I do feel that the variations are necessary, because they're part of the challenges. And, you know, I've always been one to believe strongly that there's a lot of things that I personally acknowledge God as my creator, but I do recognize and accept that there's many different ways to see that, and there is no right or wrong way, whether it's creator, universe, goddess, source. It really doesn't matter. There's, you know, what I do feel, though, is that in order to reach our potential and to be spiritual, we have to recognize that there is something greater, even if it's just a collective or a universal connection to everyone else. But that's why I think things vary, even as young children. Even children that are raised correctly can be people that are not maybe the nicest. They don't have those good traits, those positive qualities. But then you can have people that come from the most horrific of homes, and you would think that they would be the ones that would be taking their pain out on others, but yet
they're
the most gentle, sensitive. So
exactly.
I really
That's
feel that it has you know, to do with balance. And as far as spirituality, I mean, I believe we all can be spiritual, but when we are in the profession, it's just like someone that's in the music business or someone that is in the computer business, they're going to tend to have those traits enhanced and they're going to be more, I mean, if a computer person, that's what they did for a living, they'd probably come and look at my computer and be like, oh, no, what have you done to this thing?
Right.
What in the world did you do? Right.
And they would not understand perhaps where you're coming from or myself, and I can relate to Tony, although Tony has come to be more spiritual, knowing me for all these years and learning the different things and the needs and what is and what should be and all of that. So sometimes, you know, you can, I don't say you convert somebody, but you allow them to see what you're like, and then maybe they can recognize a little bit and say, oh, hey, I like what she does. I'm going to do that too. So I think, like, for him, he is spiritual anyway. See, I don't think he even knew it until he met me. And there's probably a lot of people like that. They don't really realize it, but some people, they can be around you. And could it be also, I know sometimes we just really, for example, don't hit it off with somebody. You get something from somebody, like they're standoffish or they don't want to be near you. Are they realizing something that you have and they don't? Is that a form of because they are jealous, or they just can't be that way, or they can't understand you? It happens to me sometimes. I kind of stay away from those people because I'm an empath, and I don't want to bring all that stuff on me. So I kind of turn away from them. But is that possible that you can meet people like that who are not that spiritual, maybe like that you are or I am, and they just don't recognize what we're about? Maybe eventually, though, I'm hoping that they would see something and derive something of how we are. I always like to hope that's that way. I can do that with my granddaughter. She's still little. And, you know, she kind of laughs at me when I do certain things. But then I see her watching me, you know, and so I'm hoping that she becomes or learns more about her spirituality. I think she does, because she talks to me about things that she can see, but yet she doesn't talk to her parents about it. She's very quiet about it. So she knows what I do. So can somebody recognize something? And maybe, like, this one person, she does not really like me. She kind of ignores me. I'm not included in the conversation when I'm around everybody. Is it because she sees something in me that makes her pull away? Maybe it's my spirituality. I don't know. Could it be that?
Well, I think it can go a lot of different ways. I think that it can be sometimes a person sees in themselves what's lacking and what maybe is they feel is threatening. And then sometimes our energy, you know, to 99% of the population may come across in a very positive, healthy way. But to another person, we can come across or be perceived in a way that to them and their frame of reference and the way they've learned to cope and deal with life is not a comfortable. I know that I've met people before that I've been very uncomfortable around, but yet, I mean, I could use my psychic abilities, I suppose, to – pick up there's something about them, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that they have something that I'm envious of. There's just something about them, and it could just be our energy. I mean, I think that our energy, it's just like in our house here, and we've had the electric redone many times, but we have plugs, some plugs that still don't work. Now, if you have a two-prong where, you know, you've got two things in the wall that you can plug in, if anybody
right.
that knows just the basics about electricity, it would stand to reason that if one of those plugs works, then the other one works. And there's
right.
just some weird things. So aside from the paranormal as an explanation, let's leave that out of the loop for now. You know, why is it that the top plug works but the bottom doesn't? So I feel like there's a lot of explanations. Sometimes it is the person, they are so unaware, but yet they wish they were aware that
yeah.
they may be faced with, you know, the old saying, misery loves company, which is why people that, are into certain lifestyles, and I'm not making judgments, I'm just saying it like it is, people that are into certain lifestyles tend to gravitate towards those people in those lifestyles. And I do think mentoring, that we're, you know, that's a good thing that you're able to mentor your son or other people are
yeah.
often are, you know, brought into our lives because we're meant to mentor them spiritually, and that there's people in our life that, you know, were not spiritual before they met us, like you mentioned Tony, but as they
yes.
got to know us, and, you know, spirituality, I mean, we're not in the dark ages anymore, but we have to acknowledge the fact, just like, you know, I'm going to use transgender and sexual orientation, because that's something 20 years ago, even, that was something that you had to hide. And now, you know, it's federally acceptable to marry whomever you love. Obviously, as
right.
a spiritual person, I believe that love is love, and that's all that is needed is, you know, love. So we've come a long, long way, but there still is, to a point, just like there is with, that, you know, we've got this new person on, you know, in the media now, this transgender, and, you know, there's a big hoopla going about this person. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah, of course.
I mean, and it's not like it's private. I can say the person's name. I mean, they've gone public with it, so they obviously want everyone to know. But, I mean, this person is being treated as a hero. There's talk about them getting some type of award. So with spirituality, a lot of people, and not that I am making any judgments on spells or Wiccans or witchcraft or whatever it is that you do. I'm not. I'm just simply stating that many of us were lumped together and were considered a threat, and, you know, we would make hex bags, or we would try to curse, and we were seen as people with, you know, in a way it's flattering. I'm like, gee, I have that kind of power. Well, maybe I should use that next time
yeah,
you irritate
me. Yeah, let's whip it into shape here.
But, I mean, I think, you know, and especially where we live. I live in Northwest Arkansas, which is because that's Walmart headquarters. Believe it or not, it is an influx of people from Chicago, California, New York, Atlanta, all the big cities, all over. It's not a lot of homegrown, but we still have our homegrown tomatoes. And this is the Bible Belt for the homegrown ones. And you know, even myself, I have to be, the whole time that my son was in grade school, I was very careful about how I worded what I did, because there were
right.
people that would automatically make assumptions. So, you know, that's a time when that's a good example of my spiritual identity was, I'm an extremely spiritual person. So spiritually, I'm accepting of all belief systems. Accepting of, you know, all sexual orientations and identities and all that. But then my ego or my physical, or my, I shouldn't say physical, but my personality traits, I have other traits that are not quite as benevolent, you might say. And I think that we all are that way. Again, if we were all able to be just this beauty and grace and light, I don't think we would be on Earth as humans, because we'd be too good for this world.
No, I don't. I think you're right about that. But if you sit and people watch, you can get. I mean, I can. I'm sure you can. I'm sure anybody who's in kind of this spiritual type of business, you can sit and watch people. If you not even have to be good enough, you can tell how they're walking. You can tell things that they do. I can do that right away. But I. There are some people that do get standoffish. It's because they, like you said, they see something in you or I or whoever that they don't have or they don't do. And I hope that they're not envious, because I just, those kind of people, I wish they would come closer so they could learn a little bit. And I see people sometimes getting angry. I go to my granddaughter's soccer games all the time, and I'm watching people, and I'm kind of uncomfortable sitting there. I mean, I'm usually between my daughter-in-law and my son, so I'm not next to these kinds of people, but I can see them, and it amazes me how they react, and they should all be just kind of calm and happy. This is a great thing. Now, thank goodness her coach, he's spiritual. I don't know if he knows it or not, but he is, because he praises every one of them. He treats them all the same. He's loving and kind, and he always acknowledges me. So happy to see you, because he knows I'm her grandmother. And I really like that, whereas some other people, they don't even know I exist when I'm there. They totally don't ignore, they just, so I know he's kind of in line with me. That's how I look at him, because the rest of them, they don't even bother with me. I'm just a person standing there. They don't say, "Well, hi, how are you today?" Nothing. He always does.
Do they have their own little clique, and so they just acknowledge the people within their clique, or do you feel they're?
Well,
singling?
They'll acknowledge like my son and my daughter-in-law, I'm just the way I am, but I see a lot of people that are not, and it really, I wonder, gee, is there something wrong with me, you know? But maybe they sense something with me. Maybe I'm not approachable, but I really am. I mean, I'm smiling, and her principal is the same way. He comes up and talks to everybody in every car that's in line. He knows me by name. He knows I'm Jada's Grammy. He knows my son, of course, and my daughter-in-law. He takes time to say, how are you today? Is everything going okay? You need anything? I mean, you have any issues? I mean, he's just the sweetest man. And I'm thinking, oh, thank goodness. Those who are a little higher ups, the principal and the coach, look at them right there. They're two of the same kind. I'm so happy that Jada is able to encounter these kinds of people in her life rather than somebody who's all about being super strict and stiff and you have to really do a study on people. If you sat, it's like being in an airport, I guess, or being a people watcher, like in Vegas. I used to love just to go there just to watch the people, you know. But
it's very interesting. And
it really is. Go ahead. Oh.
Well,
a lot of
Go ahead,
Maya.
Well, we're probably going to say the same thing. Is a lot
probably.
Of people, they first of all, they can often sense that there's something like, I use my animals as an example, and the animals can sense when another animal is out of balance or injured, and you sometimes almost have to be protective, because that pack instinct can take over. And believe it or not, I've known people, now I haven't had that experience, but I've known people that have had horrible outcomes because of something like that. So when we talk about our spirituality being something that shines through, a lot of people, I think, are just have a fear of that, just like they do, just like I brought up the transgender. Even
yeah.
though that's more collectively, we're all supposed to accept it, and I'm not suggesting otherwise either. But there's a lot of people that, you know, they have this new school, and I always keep up on the, you know, what some of the new acceptances, because I believe that it's important that we grow as people. But so for a lot of people, things that feel different to them, they don't even know, I don't think, if it's positive or negative. They just sense something is off or different, and that automatically puts them in a defensive mode, and that is their personality trait and their developmental process that has led them, as opposed to someone like yourself, which different, and someone like me, where different to me is a mystery or is interesting or something that, I mean, I would obviously I wouldn't be inappropriate with someone and ask questions. You know, hi, are you a male or a female? I mean, I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
Ridiculous.
What are you today? Right. You wouldn't say that. Of course not. You have respect.
But it's something, you know, I might go sit by that person and say hi. And I think that what people assume about spirituality and spiritual people, whether we're Wiccans, Buddhists, none of the above, regardless, I think they might be surprised at how open we are and willing we are to share where we're at in our life, what we believe, and we can open up a whole new world to them. And sometimes all it takes is for someone to take a moment and sit down and say, hi, you know, my name's so-and-so. I've seen you here, you know, that must be your granddaughter. I'm assuming that's your granddaughter. You know, same thing with me. I'm
right.
assuming that's your grandson. I see you here all the time. And that gets the door open. Now, if we could all be open and rather than fearful and closed off. So, yeah, I feel that people that snub other people, they're not always maybe necessarily envious or jealous. My guides feel that it's more fear of the unknown. They just, it's like animals. They smell something different. You know, if
right.
if I have a dog that comes back from a show, they sniff me, and it's hilarious. And I can put on makeup here at home, and I mean, yeah, you know, I do raise and show dogs, so, and I work from home, so no, I don't wear really good clothes because they get dirty or whatever. But they somehow know, even if I do my hair every day, put on makeup, but they know the difference between me staying home and leaving. And they react and respond to that right away. They have to sniff me. And so people are like that. It's just that
yeah.
dogs, the great thing about animals is nobody's told them, hey, you know, I could think of some funny stories, which I'm going
right.
to go
my
ahead
cat
and say.
Does that. My cat
well,
knows
and,
when I'm dressing up, he knows if I'm in the bathroom, he sits outside, he follows me wherever I go. He knows if I'm going to go out, like if I go to the movies, he just knows. And he knows when I'm home. He knows when I'm going to be staying home. He always likes, he eats his food, he comes on, he likes me to love him up, you know, he nuzzles up to me. He every time, I know exactly what he's going to do. I'll say, come on, you just want to come over here and lay on the blankie with me. And sure enough, it's like he understands everything I say. But yeah, they know a lot. They probably know more than most humans.
Well,
so
I think they do, but I think it's hilarious and great is that dogs don't hesitate, you know. Now, please, everyone, take this in the way that it's intended. But when they want to know something, they just get right to the source. I mean, they sniff the other dog's butt. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, they,
tells
yeah,
them
they
everything
do.
They need to know. And as humans, if we could be more open And most of the time, if the dog, you know, like you're saying, you know, people, they don't talk to you, or, you know, not just you personally, but you've seen it with other people. You know, most animals, that's an appropriate way of greeting, and they allow that, and then they return the favor by re-sniffing. If we as humans would be more like that when we don't know someone, or their energy is something that we're unsure of, if we could just approach that as a curiosity as opposed to automatically assuming it's something to be threatened, envious, scared, or jealous of, you know, I mean, it would be a better place. But then again, without those people, I don't think that we could have the challenges. And I'm a big believer that a lot of the things, a lot of the suffering that we see that seems so unfair is often tied to a past life. So something terrible, and that's not always the case, not always, but I think that goes too with our spiritual identity versus our ego, our earthly physical traits and identity. We're more easily imprinted in our physical life than where our spirit is. The imprints are stronger, but they're not as shifted by the day-to-day experiences that we have as human beings. So I do feel that.
You know, I have Candy's calling in, and she would like to share something. So if we could give her a little bit of time. I just told her she sits in the room. She says, okay, I'm here. You see, she just sits there and greets people as they come in. But she says, I wanted to share something, so I'm going to bring her in right now. Maya, hi, Candy. You're live on the air.
Awesome. It's wonderful to be here with you guys tonight. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
You know how we're doing. You know how I'm doing. I talk to you every day. Talk to Maya every day. We're all kind of like in the same boat. But what did you want to share? Or you want to ask Maya something? Or
actually, I just wanted to share my views on the topic, if that's okay with you guys.
Okay.
Well, my views are like this. I believe that we are all spirits trapped inside these vessels or vehicles that we borrow in these bodies. And I do believe in reincarnation. And I believe that each time that we are born into a body, that we gain knowledge and we gain experiences, and that we carry on to our next lives that we need to know for life lessons to help us progress. But I also believe that our spirit actually guides the physical being, whether we know it or not, because a lot of people are not in touch with their spirit being. And I feel like that a lot of people are lost in the world because they are not in touch with their own spirit being. They don't know really who they are. And
true. What do you think, Maya?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree.
I've been, of course, listening the whole time. And what you guys were saying earlier about people who, like, avoid you because of whatever reason that they have within them. Some people avoid you because they see something in you that they wish they had inside them. But I feel like they are denying themselves what is already inside of them because they haven't recognized it.
Well, that's true, too. I think that's a good thing to say, because I never thought of it that way, really. Yeah, maybe, like, for an example would be for me, around these people, maybe they feel I'm not approachable, but the people that are in around us, I don't really know them, but I always say, hi, how are you doing today, everything okay, and we all sit in a row, you know, I don't really know their names, but yet, nobody really, I mean, my son will talk to me, but, you know, my daughter-in-law is busy talking to them. And I kind of watch that. I mean, I'm not around a lot of people very much, except for that when I go to that game. then I'm around a lot of people and I can really watch and see what's going on. And I even look at the kids. I can tell you the kids. Now, the kids that belong to this coach that my granddaughter has, they are the same way. They are just like him. They always, of course, see, I go up to them. Her name is Adeline, and she's a terrific soccer player. She's probably going to end up with a scholarship. She's that good. And I always compliment her, and she hurt her wrist, and she was standing there. I right away went up to her and held her wrist a little bit, and she said, "Do you think I'm going to be okay?" I said, "Yeah, you're probably going to wear something around it, like next week, maybe the first couple of weeks." I said, "Go home and ice it and take something to ease the pain a little bit because she fell on it." And all I had to do was do that one time to her. Now, she recognizes in me how she comes to me. She looks for me. Because I connected with her. But she's really got exactly what her father's like. She's exactly like her father. He's just very open. He comes to you. There's another daughter. The mother I've not really ever met. But I've never paid much attention. But the last few weeks I have been watching people. And it's really true. If they would just kind of get close to you, maybe some of you would rub off onto them, and they'd feel a little bit better about their walk that they have to take in their life. And I don't know. It's a wondrous thing. But like you said, Maya, I think that if we were all the same, we wouldn't be here. What would we be doing? I don't know. I'd probably be flitting around trying to figure out other things to do. You know, I wouldn't stand still. No, I would not do that. But but it's a wonderful thing, your spiritual identity. I think it really is. I've enjoyed the conversation tonight.
I also believe that in each life that spirits that connect to each other, like in this life, whenever we leave these bodies and we come back as another thing or another body, that we will connect to each other because spirits keep finding each other.
What do you think about that, Maya?
Well, yeah, I mean, I call that familiars. I mean, we do have soulmates, but that always denotes a romantic partner, at least for this life. But I feel we have people and animals as well, and my belief system is that those are familiars, and we have about 5 to 8 familiars that are going to enter each almost, perhaps not every single time we're reincarnated, because they may be on a little bit different path than we are. But generally speaking, we're going to have several people at least that are going to show up in some way. The relationship may vary. And then when it comes to soulmates, I believe a little bit differently that we've been with that person before, but most of the time, perhaps not always, but most of the time, there has been some type of romantic connection. And so that's the difference between how I would explain a soulmate and a familiar is that. And a lot of times we find in this life, I think we deal with people that they feel they're supposed to be with this particular person, and yet there's just too many obstacles for it to be. And I believe that that's because they probably are a soulmate, but they're here as a familiar in this life. They're not meant to.
Yeah.
It's not meant to go. But yeah, I mean, I think we have two identities, and it's that's what I had said earlier. You know, Candy seems to agree with us is that, you know, if we all were more connected to our spiritual identity, definitely our lives would be more fulfilling, and I believe our potential would be achieved, and our ascension would be greater, our state of grace, and so on and so forth. But that's the challenge. To me, the challenge is meeting, is those two halves meeting and melding and becoming one, or being as close, like she said, there's people out there that are completely disconnected from their spiritual self, and those are the people that are very lost. And you know, I just figure I wish them well, I wish them the best. And you know, what I do, Natalie, when someone obviously, you know, seems to deliberately ignore me, and there's nothing that I know that I, it's not like I went up to them and said something like, oh, that's the ugliest sweater I've ever seen anybody wear
right.
in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I've done anything like that. Or I just think of it, there's a movie, and that's where I get this from. So, but I just think, you know, we're temporarily disconnected. For whatever reason, that person either, like Candy said, I'm either a reflection of something inside them that they've been unable or unwilling to face. There's something in me that is fearful because they don't understand it. Whatever, I just think I'm temporarily disconnected. I don't allow myself to take it personally. I just, I send that person love, and I hope that someday they can be open enough that they can come up and say hi, because I feel that as humans we have so much to offer. And I think for most of us, you know, if somebody takes the time to come over and say hello and sit down, you don't have to ask a direct rude question like, you know, a big ring, is that real? I mean, to me, that's just...
Yeah, right. Oh, that must be fake. It's too big.
Right. I mean, but to just sit and just chat with someone, hi, you know, as I said, I've seen you here a lot. I think we would really be surprised. So for the listeners, I know we're out of time. I'd like to say thank you for listening.
Yeah, I extended it a little bit so we're not cut off. Right, yeah.
And hopefully you can look at and maybe make some notations about what you think your spiritual identity is versus what I'm terming or coining as your ego identity, and find ways of coming closer. And remember, when you look at the world and people don't react to you correctly, don't always, you know, don't profile people, which, you know, just because someone has a certain look, like, for example, they may be covered in tattoos, but that doesn't mean
that would be me.
That, you know, or my son.
But that doesn't mean that they're not a sweet person and loving and kind.
But
absolutely, I agree.
Absolutely. My son has dreads, and
there you go.
And he's Caucasian, and he just has the kind of hair that he can have the regular big, thick dreads. They're not the little thin ones. And his peers are very supportive and you know, envious, but in a positive way, saying you're so lucky. You know, most Caucasians don't have the right hair texture to get these big, thick, you know, like Bob Marley type of hair that he, of dreads that he has. But it's the older generations that make automatic assumptions that because his hairstyle is a certain way, and that is wrong, and that angers me. And I think we all need to, you know, so that I know I said that's all I'm going to say, but the last thing I'm going to say is don't make assumptions. That person sitting in that chair or standing in line or waiting at the bus stop or whatever the case, or the coworker that seems quiet, it may just be that no one has taken the time to come up and look them and be direct and just, if nothing else, just say, hi, how are you? My name is so-and-so. So that's something that anytime we give, we connect with our spirituality, no matter what it is. I believe very much in that. And please have faith. Whatever that means to you, whatever that source is, faith just means that we believe that things can improve and get better. And I wish everyone lots of faith, and don't profile people, and be open and accepting. You never know that person. I just wrote a blog that about the different things that we can learn. You just never know who you might be helping and who might have something to teach you. So with that, I'll say good evening. It's been a great show as always, and I look forward to next Monday.
Okay. Well, Candy, of course, I always thank you, but I can thank you on the phone. Candy does
thank
a great
you.
Job over at Facebook and Twitter, and I always say she has magic fingers because she does all these kinds of things, and so then I don't have to do it, and I can focus on something else. And I love you both very much, and yes, we will have another show next week. I don't really know what it's on. I mean, I know what it's on, but I can't tell you because I don't have a sheet in front of me, but it will be another good one, I guarantee you. And Candy, you want to say something closing? I did extend the time a little bit, so we're not going to get cut off. I always try to do that. You just want to say goodnight to everybody?
In closing, I would like to say that on this particular topic tonight, that I feel like everybody goes through each life and they gain knowledge within their spiritual being to be able to be the person they are in the physical being that they are today. The lessons they learned last time, they bring forward to this physical being, and if they were a quote, mean, unquote, person last time, and they regretted it, they can learn from those lessons and be a nicer person this time. And those and that is how our spiritual being works.
Oh, I love it, all this interaction. I had somebody else on the that called in, and I tried to get them to say something, but I think they just really wanted to listen, and I'm glad that they called in. And so we'll see everybody next week, same time, same station, and we'll have another great topic. And Maya, I love you. Candy, I love you. And everybody have a good evening. Till next week,
bye-bye.
Love
you, girls. Peace.